Goedemorgen en welkom bij Hour of Power op deze vroege zondagmorgen. We hebben weer een fantastische uitzending vanuit de Crystal Cathedral en een geweldige gast hier in Nederland. Laat ik daarmee beginnen. Het is Regine Maknak en zij zorgt in Amsterdam voor 700 families door haar voedselbank en geeft maaltijden aan verslaafden, aan daklozen en is de moeder van Zuidoost-Amsterdam. En zij gaat erover vertellen en ook wat Hour of Power voor haar betekent. En dan in de Crystal Cathedral. Een man, een Koreaan, die op jonge leeftijd door polio wordt getroffen, maar op een fantastische manier viool speelt. Zometeen in de Crystal Cathedral, waar dominee Schuller zal praten over hoe ga je om met je angsten. En dat naar aanleiding van Psalm 23. Welkom nogmaals bij Hour of Power en een fijne dienst toegewenst.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power.
Welcome to the Crystal Cathedral. Would you please take a moment right now and shake the hands of those who are standing next to you and behind you and say, God loves you and so do I. Well, we have a very exciting morning planned today. My father is here with us. And my wife, Donna, is here. She's going to be reading the scripture this morning. And so this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are real, that you're alive today, that you're touching hearts with your presence, with your reality, that you're giving us a sense of purpose and significance. And so we love you, Lord. We praise your name. Amen.
Thank you. may be seated. That's a great hymn, isn't it? Great is his faithfulness, surely. I'd like to read the scripture, and this morning's scripture is from the book of Psalms. Listen to the words from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And we know that God will continue to bless the reading of his word.
My guest today is someone very special. His name is Dr. In Hong Chau, and he's the assistant professor of music, director of orchestral studies, first violinist in the faculty string quartet, and conductor of the University Community Orchestra at Wright University in Ohio. A native of Seoul, Korea, Dr. Chau has performed recitals in New York, Cincinnati, and Seoul. Performed with the Hungary Chamber Orchestra, as well as the New York Brooklyn Conservatory Orchestra, and was a frequent guest player in Itzhak Erlman's master class. Wow. He's accomplished all this and more despite being wheelchair-bound from his childhood battle with polio.
Dr. In Hong Cha's spirit and music soar beyond his wheelchair and beyond the years of pain and suffering to share with the listening audience that nothing is impossible to those who believe. So please welcome with me Dr. In Hong Cha. Kamsahamnida.
Oh, thank you. Kamsahamnida.
And that's thank you in Korean. We are so inspired and impressed with what you have accomplished in the face of challenges that are enormous. But first, most importantly, you're happily married.
Yes.
To a Christian wife.
Uh-huh.
Is she here?
Yes.
Is she? Where is she? Stand up, stand up. Mrs. How wonderful. Beautiful. You have children?
Yes, I have two sons.
And how old are they?
18 and 14.
Wow. Well, anyway, tell us, how did you happen to be in a wheelchair?
Oh, I got polio when I was age 2. And unfortunately, we didn't have vaccine for the polio at the time in Korea. So I just put into the wheelchair. That's what happened.
And how did you discover a talent to play a violin?
Well, I was sent to the rehabilitation school for the disabled student. So I learned the violin there from one volunteer teacher from town. And I remember she taught me violin, and also I was very encouraged from her. So that was how I started the violin. And I really think she changed my life. She was also a Christian. But I think she's here with us this morning.
She is?
I think so.
A great tribute to one of the greatest of all human professions, and that's the teacher. I don't think there are many more unsung heroes than teachers who teach faithfully and believe in their students. So, how did you come to America and when?
I came to America in 1982 to the University of Cincinnati. That was my first school and first place. The United States was 1982.
So, tell me this. What's in your life at this point probably been the most honored and fulfilling playing experience you've had? Was it performing in New York?
Uh-huh.
Carnegie Hall, maybe?
Yes, I played in the Carnegie Hall. It was very great.
Very great. And Itzhak Perlman, you knew him very well.
Yes, he's one of the prominent violinists in today. And I was very lucky. I had like 6 times chance to play for him in his master class. Mm-hmm. So I was really encouraged from him, and I learned a lot from him.
Have you, through these years, ever had been some real down times? You must have faced some down times with despair or discouragement or disappointments.
Yes. Especially when I was young, a teenager, I was most frustrated to accept my physical handicap. It was very hard to have hope. So I really didn't have hope, but I was really lucky. I was playing the music, so I was really happy with music. And I met many people who helped me whenever I needed some kind of help. And they poured God's love for me. And I really believe those many good people I met, that God provides for me.
Wonderful. That's how God is everywhere present, because you can't go many places in the world without finding somebody in that town that loves Jesus Christ. God is everywhere present. And, well, you have that very strong faith in God. Where did you get this?
Well, looking back my life, it is a miracle that I become somebody from nobody. I really learned from those things, how God planned and using me through my life with a little bit of talent, music. That's how I got faith in God from my life experience.
And you believe in Jesus Christ?
Sure, yes.
What, I'm anxious to hear you play, and so are the people, but what message do you have for people that are listening today who are facing challenges?
Well, we all may have some kind of weakness or pains, and we know that it's not easy to deal with it. But I really learned if we live in faith, God will help us. God will plan for us, and He using us. So I always pray for God. Whenever I meet some kind of difficult time, I ask God, and I'm sure He will help me like He did until today.
Until today.
Yeah.
And now, you ready to play for us?
Sure, yes.
Thank you.
geweldige vioolsolo van In Hong Cha. En wat een bewogen levensverhaal. En geweldig als je dan zo kunt spelen. Groot is uw trouw. Bewogen, dat is ook het levensverhaal van Regina Maknak. En zij werkt en woont in Amsterdam. En ze doet fantastisch veel. Ik heb het al verteld. Ze werkt met een voedselbank. Ze zorgt voor mensen die geen dak boven hun hoofd hebben. Kortom, een hele bezige bij. Regina, hartelijk welkom in ons programma vanmorgen.
Dank je wel.
Ik wil eigenlijk beginnen met een bepalende gebeurtenis in je leven. Jij was in het ziekenhuis voor controle, want je was zwanger. En toen werd er gedacht dat jouw kindje buiten de baarmoeder lag.
Klopt.
Wat gebeurde er toen?
Nou, daarna ben ik naar de OK gebracht. Dus tijdens de controle. En men heeft heel gauw een conclusie getrokken dat ik geopereerd moest worden, omdat buitenbaarmoederlijke zwangerschap dodelijke afloop kan hebben. En voordat ik goed kon beslissen, was ik in de OK. De arts die opereerde, die merkte dus tijdens de operatie dat niets met mij aan de hand was. Het kindje zat netjes in de baarmoeder.
Nee, toch?
En ja, en volgens mij wilde hij zich overtuigen van wat hij gezien had op de echoscopie. Dus hij ging verder. En tijdens de operatie zijn er zenuwen van mij geraakt, waardoor mijn ruggenwervel aangetast is en ik na 3 weken in het ziekenhuis hebben gelegen, niet meer kon lopen.
En je kindje?
En mijn kindje die kwam na 4 weken moest ik naar het toilet en ja, die was uitgedroogd en door de operatie, de narcose was te zwaar, is het kindje dus overleden. En,
dan stort je wereld toch in?
In principe wel. Omdat het kindje zeer gewenst was bij mij.
Ja. Uiteindelijk kom je dan tot de conclusie dat er niets aan de hand was. Dat het kindje gewoon geboren had kunnen worden.
Ja.
Maar dat je van buiten en van binnen eigenlijk verminkt bent.
Ja, het lag dubbel. Je raakt het kind kwijt en je wordt gehandicapt. En wat ze ook gedaan hebben is wat ik in principe zeer kwalijk nam. Hun zeer kwalijk nam. Ik heb het ze wel nu vergeven dat ze het hebben weggegooid zonder het aan mij te laten zien. Ja, omdat de arts dus wist dat hij fout was. Ja. En later, na het ontslag uit het ziekenhuis, moest ik dus herstellen. En ik merkte dat ik heel veel pijn had in mijn rug. Eenmaal 24 uur. Pijngrens 9 is de hoogste pijn die er is. En dan kom je erachter dat je leven gewoon een heel andere draai heeft. Want ik was toch altijd een actieve vrouw.
Wat me opviel net, dat je zei, ik heb de artsen vergeven.
Ja, omdat het heel belangrijk is als gelovige. Want ik ben gelovig, ik geloof in God. En je moet gewoon kunnen vergeven. Omdat als je niet vergeeft, je leven niet verder kan voortzetten. Je raakt verbitterd. En door bitterheid kan je ook weer anderen kwetsen. Dus het moment je kan vergeven, kan je gewoon verder met je leven.
Nou maak je al die ellende mee. Je kind verlies je. Je bent gehandicapt voor het leven. Maar je zit hier en je bent razend actief. Dus wat is er gebeurd?
God heeft mij genezen.
Ja?
En ik heb toen gebeden en gevraagd aan hem van, als je me geneest, wil ik alles voor je doen. Maakt niet uit wat. Ik wil wat terug doen. Uit dank voor mijn genezing. En in een genezingsdienst heeft hij me genezen. Op één moment was ik pijnvrij. Kon ik weer lopen uit de rolstoel. En na een poosje kreeg ik dromen. En daaruit liet de Heer me zien dat ik dus met grote pannen eten op straat liep. En mensen met gescheurde kleding liepen achter me aan. En zo ben ik dus 12 jaar geleden begonnen met het uitdelen van eten aan de daklozen. En sinds 4 jaar met het eten aan de gezinnen die onder de minimuminkomen zitten.
Laten we eerst even beginnen met die daklozen. Het helpen, het koken van maaltijden voor 200 daklozen, verslaafden elke week.
Klopt. Dat heb ik al 12 jaar.
En, week in, week uit?
Week in, week uit. Het is om de ene dag een broodmaaltijd. En 2 keer in de week een warme maaltijd. Kleding, schoeisel, soms hebben ze ook een paracetamol nodig. die je makkelijk kan afgeven. Want ik ben geen arts om medicijnen voor te schrijven. Maar vaak zijn ze niet verzekerd, de zwervers. Dus hebben ze altijd wel een teen die open zit of een kies die pijn doet.
En, je bent hun moeder. Ze komen bij jou met al hun klachten, problemen, vragen.
Ja, ze komen bij mij. Maar het belangrijkste is dat ik ze niet alleen het natuurlijke voedsel geef, maar ook het geestelijke voedsel. Ja. En ze bemoedigt om proberen om God in hun leven te nemen en ook een verandering zodoende te krijgen in hun leven. Er zijn ook heel veel met de tijden van de straat weggehaald. Ik heb ze gebracht naar een afkikcenter en ze zijn terug in de maatschappij. Nu heel actief op de voedselbank als vrijwilligers.
Ja, want dat komen we bij het volgende onderwerp. Naast je zorg voor dak, thuisloze verslaafden, verzorg je ook nog eens voor 700 gezinnen elke week hun voedsel. Waar haal je de energie vandaan?
De bron is de bron van de Hemelse Vader. Hij geeft me de kracht. Hij geeft me de wijsheid, inzicht om dit te kunnen doen. Want met eigen kracht lukt het nooit.
Nou zijn er mensen die zich afvragen, want er zijn nogal wat voedselbanken in ons land. Is de nood nou echt zo groot dat er voedsel uitgedeeld moet worden? Hebben gezinnen dan helemaal bijvoorbeeld 's morgens geen boterham voor hun kinderen voordat ze naar school gaan?
Ja, je hebt gezinnen die echt zonder eten zitten. Kinderen naar school sturen zonder brood of met beschimmeld brood. En als je nagaat, als je honger hebt, heb je niet genoeg zuurstof in je hersen. Dus je kan je niet concentreren. Dus deze kinderen boeken ook slechte resultaten. En een goede dag heb ik gewoon de stap genomen, de scholen langs gegaan en gevraagd of dit probleem gesignaleerd is op school. En de directeuren gaven aan van ja, we kampen er dagelijks mee. Dat er kinderen hier in de klas zitten, gewoon in slaap vallen. Want ze kunnen zich niet concentreren omdat ze een hongerige maagje hebben. Dus toen heb ik gezegd van weet je wat, ik wil er wat aan doen. Dus vandaar dat ik heb besloten van, weet je, dan ga ik gewoon het heel gezin een voedselpakket geven. Dan eten ook degene die niet op school zijn. Of die krijgen ook een maaltijd of een tosti. Want ze krijgen dan groenten, fruit, aardappels. Gewoon basisproducten wat je nodig hebt om een maaltijd samen te stellen.
Weet je wat je het nou zo leuk vindt? Je zit het te vertellen of het gewoon zo'n zaak van de wereld is. Ik help honderden daklozen. Ik zorg elke week dat 700 families te eten hebben. Het is eigenlijk de gewoonste zaak van de wereld. Maar waarom doe je het eigenlijk?
Omdat ik een belofte heb gemaakt. Dat als de Heer me genas, ik wat voor hem terug zou doen. Ik geloof in de voorziening van God. En dat is voor mij het belangrijkste. Ik bouw en vertrouw alleen op hem. Soms heb ik een dag van, oh, morgen ga ik voedsel delen. Ik heb nog niet veel binnen. Ga ik even op mijn knieën in de kamer. En dan zeg ik, Heer, zoals het staat in Matthäus, dat ik de hongerige moet voeden. Niet ik alleen, het geldt voor iedereen. De dorstige te drinken moet geven. De naakte moet kleden. Heren, voorzie in deze middelen. En dan ga ik terug naar mijn plekje en dan ga ik zingend verder. Dan gaat er ineens de bel, staat er een vrachtwagen voor de deur. Met van alles en nog wat. Dus tot nu toe hebben de mensen altijd te eten gehad.
Geweldig, niemand, geweldig. Ja. Trots op je.
Dat
is super. Ja, en ik weet ook mensen uit Amsterdam die helemaal op jou leunen en jou een soort moeder Teresa vinden. Je kijkt ook naar Hour of Power. Helpt je dat ook om ja?
Ja, zondagochtend volg ik het regelmatig. En ik zie ook de kracht van het evangelie daaruit komen. En we moeten omzien naar onze medemens. Gelukkig zijn is niet alleen heel veel geld hebben en heel veel luxe. Maar gewoon mogen weten dat als je je inzet voor een ander, je hebt ingezet voor God. En dat God het altijd ziet en het altijd zal belonen.
Hey. Mag ik je ongelooflijk hartelijk bedanken dat je hier vanmorgen aanwezig wilde zijn. Ik vind je een fantastisch mens. Jij maakt maar wat in de Bijbel staat. Als je gelooft, kun je bergen verzetten. Dat zegt dominee Schuller ook heel vaak. En vandaar dat ik je dit dagboek van hem wil geven. Met 365 inspirerende en motiverende gedachten voor elke dag.
Dank je wel.
Alsjeblieft beginnen. Hey, heel leuk, we gaan nu naar de Crystal Cathedral. Daar gaat Nina Whittaker zingen. Prachtige gospelzangeres. En zij zingt The Power of a Dream. De kracht van een droom. Nou, daar kunnen we beide van genieten. Zullen we gaan kijken?
Ja.
Oké.
Okay.
magic spark that lights the fire of our imagination. And since the dawn of man, the strength of just I can has brought together people of all nations. There's nothing ordinary in the living of each day. There's a special part every one of us will play. Feel the flame forever burn, teaching lessons we must learn to bring us closer to the power of the dream. As the world gives us its best to stand apart from all,
bless you. It's a joy to have you singing that song. The first time you sang it here was 10 years ago.
10 years ago. With my group, Next Millennium, we just recorded this song for the Olympics, the Rhythm of the Game CD. We ended up not being on the CD. Celine ended up singing it, but we love her. And but it was a wonderful experience. It was my first time here, and 10 years, I think we've come full circle.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to have you back here again singing for us. And give our love to your husband, Don. Don does the voice that you hear at the beginning of the Hour of Power. You know that fantastic voice? He's got a voice like God. And then you have a voice of an angel in the same house. I mean, that must be a very nice... I would love to live next door to them so I could hear these wonderful sounds coming out of their house. Well, okay. God bless you, Nita.
Thank you.
Goodbye. My sister Carol, when she was 13 years old, was in a horrible motorcycle accident, and she lost her leg, and she nearly lost her life. It was only by the grace of God that she survived, literally. She lost more blood than you could ever imagine. She's picked up by the ambulance, she didn't have a pulse. They said the only thing that kept her conscious was the fact that she used her mind. And what she did while she was laying in the ditch bleeding to death is she just kept reciting the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And today we're looking at a passage of Scripture in the 23rd Psalm which says, the Lord is my shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. There may be tough times. And seriously, there are very, very tough times. There are people listening to me who've heard that they have cancer. There are people listening to me whose spouse has said they want them out of the house. There are people listening to me who have lost a son or a daughter, a father, a mother, a brother, a sister. There are people sitting in the hospital rooms today who've gone through a stroke or having some other ailments. And all of us are going through times and circumstances and situations where we feel the pain of existence. But what we have to remember is that the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is there to carry us through those valleys, to move us through those tough times, and into the beautiful, glorious splendor of His holy city. I have traveled and I have seen some incredible sights. I've had the privilege of studying a lot of the archaeological excavations and of all around the world. In fact, my major was an ancient civilization, so I've studied most of them. I've been to the Acropolis, I've been to the islands of Crete, I've been through Israel, I've seen a lot of them. And without question, one of the most spectacular archaeological sites on planet Earth happens to be a place called Petra. Petra is located about 100 miles from Amman, Jordan. So the only way to go there is to get to Amman. There's a couple ways to get to Amman, but from there, it's a long bus ride all the way to Petra. And then you get there, and the only way to get into the actual city is actually by mule. You climb on a mule, and you go through this valley where the walls are 120 feet high. And you go through this valley where the sun does not shine. It's a constant shadow. And it's like that until you get through. And when you get through, you see that famous treasury building, which became famous thanks to Indiana Jones. You remember the movie Indiana Jones? And there's this wonderful temple. Well, that's Petra. It's an entire city carved out of the rocks. It's actually, the carvings actually started in the buildings. They started building them in the 6th century before Christ. It was Nabataean architecture, and they carved these incredible buildings and amphitheaters and everything you could imagine out of the rocks. So it would be as if there was if you could carve a city out of the Grand Canyon, out of the walls. But to get there, you have to go through the valley. A valley where you can't see the sky, a valley where the sun doesn't shine. And so often for us to be able to become the people that God has called us to be, we have to take the steps, we have to have the faith, we have to walk through those treacherous places. And suddenly at the end of the journey, we see the beauty and the glory and the grandeur of God's handiwork as He leads. But what's imperative is for us to walk our own walk. God has called each of us for a specific purpose and for a specific reason. It's kind of like David when he faced Goliath. Saul, the king of Israel, pulls out all of his armor. He's so thrilled that somebody's going to face this Philistine. And he puts his armor on David, and David is weighted down with this armor that doesn't fit. He says, I can't do battle like this. This isn't me. And he took it off, and he gave it back to the king, and he says, this is yours. This is your armor. This is whom God has called you to be. It's not what God has called me to be. And instead, he simply picked up a few stones and a slingshot, and he faced his Goliath. All of us go through our valleys, and it's imperative for us to be able to go through these valleys the way God has called us to go through. And every single one of us has a different path. We've been designed, created by God for a specific purpose and reason. And God wants you to be you. That's what he wants. So my prayer for you today is that you may have enough happiness to make you sweet. That you may have enough trials to make you strong. That you may have enough sorrow to make you human. That you may have enough hope to make you happy. And so as we travel through life, there are a few things we can know. First of all, we know that God will take us through the valleys. That we all have valleys we are going through. We also know that as we go through the valleys, that we have to be the person that God has called us to be. Not the person that God has called someone else to be, but the person God has called you to be. What do I mean by that? Golda Mabovich was a child attending 4th Street School, grade school, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. She was raised in utter poverty, and so she wasn't hip and she wasn't cool. In fact, all the kids would have seen her just the opposite, as the geek, as the nerd, as the outcast. And that's the way she spent her life. In fact, it was so impoverished that the school administrators came to her parents' house one day and scolded them for not giving her a good lunch at school and not giving her the adequate tools she needed to be able to do her work. They were immigrants. They couldn't understand a single word that was said to them. So they just served tea and said, thank you, goodbye. Now that's gold. And when she looked in the mirror as a young child, she just saw the outcast. But God had a different plan. At the age of 70, she returned to that school. At the age of 70, she was invited to come back as an honored guest. And she stood before the group of people who had gathered there. And she addressed them. Her name was Golda Meir, Prime Minister of the State of Israel. What does God see in the least of these? What does God see when he looks into your eyes? God sees the beauty and the potential and the opportunity to be able to shape and mold a life. The Good Shepherd leads us through the valleys of life that we might experience the bounty and the beauty that he wants for us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What is the greatest fears that we face today? I believe the fears we face is the lack of faith to keep on keeping on, to keep on striving, to trust that God will truly lead us through. It's like that old story of the guy who
was got a little too close to the cliff looking at the view, and he slipped and fell. As he fell, there was a branch there. He grabbed hold of just at the last minute. And dangling above these jagged rocks below, he yelled out, "Is anybody up there? Hey, is anybody up there? Help!" And pretty soon he heard a voice, and he said, "I am here." "Who's there?" "It is God. God, save me! Let go." "Is there anybody else up there?" And that's the way we often treat God. He leads us through these valleys, and in our fear, we're afraid to let go and allow God to do his bidding in our lives. And God says, "Let go and trust me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." And the evil we fear today is the lack of faith to put our trust in a loving God who won't lead us and dump us in the valley, but he'll carry us through the valleys, and he allows these things to happen to us to make us strong, to create compassion, to create hope, to develop love. And God carries us through the valleys to break down the barriers which keep us from experiencing the love of God and being that person that he's called us to be, to love our neighbors. So today I want you to pray a prayer with me. The prayer says this: "O Lord, give me the self-esteem to believe in myself, and the vision to see where you want this child to be. Then give me the faith to carry it through, and the wisdom to know I did it with you." Mary Stevenson gave us a story that has swept America, and it's a perfect illustration and a closing statement of God's love for us. A man dies and he sees his life as footprints in the sand. And he sees one set of footprints until he accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior. And from that point on, he sees two sets of footprints until he comes to that point in his life where it was the darkest of days. And he didn't want to go on, and he contemplated suicide, and he wished he were dead. And at that time, suddenly there was just one set of footprints again. And when he got through that tough time, he saw the two footprints one more time, and he looked at God and he said, "Where were you when I needed you the most?" And God looked at the man and he said, "I was carrying you." So today I ask you to pray. Carry me, Lord. Carry me through these toughest, darkest days. And lead me through the valleys into that promised land you have for me. Dear God, you are good. You are gracious and you are loving. And today you are calling us to be that person that you created. You are calling us to be that person you envisioned as you created a love between a man and a woman when a child was born. And you gave me my name. And today I give my name to you. I give my heart to you. I give my life to you. I give my burdens to you. I give my struggles to you. I give my hope to you. I give you my all. And so take me, Lord, just as I am. And give me the faith to let go when you call. I love you, Lord. Amen. May the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit give you the faith to follow Christ through the valleys and experience His love today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.
Een geweldige gedachte om de week mee in te gaan. You never walk alone. Of je loopt nooit alleen. Denk aan die voetsporen in het zand. Je wordt gedragen door God. En als je het heel moeilijk hebt en als je als een berg opziet tegen vandaag en de komende dagen, weet dan dat God nabij is. Denk aan die voetsporen. Wij nemen afscheid met Hour of Power. Heel hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken. Geweldig dat zoveel kijkers, jong en oud, elke week op ons afstemmen. En je kunt deze uitzending bekijken vanaf dinsdag op onze website www.hourofpower.nl. En klik dan even aan bij Video Kerkdiensten. Overigens, daar kun je de uitzendingen van de afgelopen maanden allemaal bekijken. Op www.hourofpower.nl, Video Kerkdiensten. Iedereen een hele fijne zondag toegewenst en graag tot volgende week. Dream.